Good morning. What's up, everybody? Welcome to week number one in a brand new series that we're calling Gaining Momentum. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, I heard you during worship singing, and you were off key just a little bit today. Help them out. Just love on them a little bit. We're going to get better. We're going to get better. We're going to get better. Man, so glad for all those watching online again today. We're thankful for you guys. We love you so much. Church, will you help me welcome all of our online families watching with us today? Come on. Yeah. Man, how many thank God for sunshine when you finally wake up in the morning in Fort Wayne, Indiana? My God in heaven. I mean, I've been praying for sunshine. If you're praying for rain, please stop, all right? Just stop. Just quit praying for rain. Hey, we are excited for just all that God's doing, excited for this new series. Going to jump into it. If you want to grab your worship guide, your message notes are in there, so you can follow along that way or on the screen in just a moment. But yesterday, I wanted to show you a video, just a quick little video, yesterday that it was opening day for my kids. And Ashton, I have three kids. For those who don't know, Ashton plays softball. Judah just started T-ball. Come on. Somebody, all right? And Braxton wants to be out there on both fields with his brother and sister. His time is coming. Yesterday, Judah's first T-ball game, and I'm so glad I had the video camera rolling on my phone. And he's only had one practice, and so we had no idea what we were going to get out of any of those kids. And so, but I got to say how proud of my kid that I was yesterday. This was so good. If you don't follow me on social media, that's fine, because I thought I'm going to share it anyway today on Sunday morning. So you'll have that video. You ready? All right, check this out, guys. It's pretty awesome. All right, so there's his first cut. All right, foul ball.
Get ready.
Watch my man. Watch my man. Check this out.
Keep your eye on that. There we go. Go, buddy. Run, run, run. Run. No, Judah. Judah. Judah, run to the face. No, give them the ball.
Can't be out.
Oh, man. Oh, my. Oh, man. Oh, Judah. I did. That's going on ESPN tonight. All right. Judah, good job, buddy.
Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on. I said, son, I've never seen somebody hit and then play defense all in the same time. I said, you truly have an amazing future. I'm telling you what. So anyways, we got a good laugh of it. So, of course, all the other teams did that day. And, man, I'm telling you what, the life of a four-year-old in T-ball, man, you get some greatest moments in that. Hey, let's get in the message today. And I'm really excited for this series we're in called Gaining Momentum. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm ready to gain some momentum. Come on, tell them. Ready to gain some momentum. This series, I just want you to know, is really rooted out of a message that we did back in February. How many remember we did the message series called Torch? And it was all on vision, but week two was a week that we talked about embracing, that we are a church that embraces momentum. And I got more feedback on that message than I think maybe any message I've ever done. And so I thought, okay, well, there must be something to it. And so I just really felt like I wanted to do a little bit of continuation just from that. And so we want to do a few weeks and just talk about gaining momentum. I think that we've been in such a time in 2019 as a church family as that we are seeing great momentum happening. And so, and if you're in a place, maybe you're looking to gain some momentum, maybe you're trying to find some momentum, I just encourage you just to lock in over the next couple weeks with us. Next week is Mother's Day as well, and we're gonna celebrate all the women of the church next week. Got something for you, so make sure you're here. But my wife will be doing week two of this series, and come on, going to be helping, talking to us about gaining momentum in our families, and then we'll close it up in 2 weeks on just gaining momentum for our future. So don't want to miss it. Let's define momentum. You saw it on the bumper there, but let's define it again. And it says this, that it's the strength or force that something has when it is moving, the strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. How many want to see your life moving in the trajectory of momentum? And according to that definition, there's movement to your life, there's progression to your life, growth is happening, things are moving, things are evolving. I can't think of anything else that I would want in my relationship with God than continuing to advance, come on, and push back darkness so that light can continue to prevail. Amen? And so I really believe that this is something that God wants for us. And I believe one of the things, and I want to talk to to you about this today, of one of the keys that I think that helps to produce momentum, and that is honor. I think this honor is become a lost commodity, really, in our culture. We see so much. How many know there's just enough negativity in the world and politics and news and social media? It's just, I mean, there's a lot of just junk out there. And so we've got to be really careful of what we're allowing put in, because whatever we're putting in us will come out. And so that's why feeding on the Word, staying focused in your relationship with God is so huge. But honor's huge to God. We're going to see that today. And speaking of that, I'll never forget a time. Some time ago, Bethany and I and the kids were at Bob Evans restaurant. Anybody like some Bob Evans out there? All right. A few of you. All right. Yeah. So we were there, and it was actually right around Christmas time. Never forget this. And so I'm just going to kind of summarize the story very quickly to you. And over in the booth next to us, man, we just saw this couple dishonoring the waitress who was over there. Now, she wasn't our waitress. We had our own. But I'm talking like dropping four-letter bombs on the waitress. I'm talking like, man, it was ridiculous. And there was an order that got messed up that later on I found out that wasn't her fault, but it was the kitchen's fault. And so nonetheless, they were in a place that here they're trying to figure things out, but yet they are just continually attacking this waitress. And I saw her multiple times just wiping tears from her eyes. And man, I just got a big thing on honor. I just think, man, you don't talk that way to people and cursing at people. I just obviously, you know. And so afterwards, the family left, and I asked our waitress, I said, you know, did they tip anything? Of course, they were kind of smart alecks and left a couple pennies, you know. And so Bethany and I were talking. I said, man, I just feel like we need to honor her before we leave. And so Bethany was like, okay. So we just really felt like we wanted to bless her and make sure that she just had a better night than what she was having. And so I went over to, this is in front of everybody, and I went up to the counter, the staff, and asked for that waitress. She comes out. I said, ma'am, with all due respect, I said, I just want to apologize for what you just went through with that table. And she just looked at me. She said, oh, sir. She said, well, don't worry about it. I said, well, I said, you know, we are, because nobody deserves to be treated that way. And I said, and you know, my wife and I said, we just believe in the importance of just honor. And I said, and I think, you know, what we just experienced watching what you just went through was not that. And so my wife and I want to make sure that you're tipped well tonight. So we blessed her. And then I said, I want you to know something. I said, you know, and she was probably a young girl, about 20 years of age. And I said, listen, I said, I just want you to know, you're going to sometimes have people in your life like that. And even, you know, in a workplace. Place in an environment like that that'll try to hold you back. I said, and people that are not always going to be for you, but I said, just remember this, don't let anybody ever stop you from believing in what you do and the purpose that you have. I said, bottom line is this. I said, we just want you to know tonight that we honor you. We're thankful for what you do here. And I said, most of all, we believe in a God that loves you as well. And she just broke in tears. And she looked at me and leaped. I mean, Bethany, leaped in my arms and just hugged me. And she said, oh, sir. I mean, it was like ugly cry. How many know what ugly cry is? Like, girl was ugly crying with me. And she said, sir, you have no idea what I've been going through. And again, I mind you, we're just a few days from Christmas at that time. But she said, I am so thankful tonight. She said, God has used you to bring hope back in my life. Just thank you again. I'm just telling you what honor does is exactly what it means. I want to show you what it means. Honor means to give value, to give worth. I love the other part of honor and what it does, and that means to give something or somebody weight. There's weight. How many have ever had a relationship, and I think all of us have had, been impacted by somebody in your life? Yeah, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a leader, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was, you know, a teacher. How many can think about people that have impacted your life through the years? And how many know when somebody has impacted your life, you give them honor, you give them weight? How many know when they talk, you listen? But dishonor means this. It means to take lightly, or in other words, to remove the weight. And I just believe honor for God should translate into us being a people of honor, being an honorable person, but honoring people as well. And so I think what happens oftentimes is we treat things as common and ordinary that we shouldn't be treating as common and ordinary. Amen? And so the Bible says this. Jesus said this, and here's what I'd love. We're going to go old school for a minute, all right? Would y'all stand to your feet? Back in church where I grew up, we had a standing for the reading of the Word. Come on, somebody. Come on. So we're gonna do that this morning together. And what we're going to do is we're going to read from the Lord's Prayer. But I want to show you something that's powerful out of the Lord's Prayer that I know God wants all of us to get. So let's read this together. Come on. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Good job, church. Father, I'm asking in the next couple of minutes, God, that you would minister to our heart. Father, we are a people that are on a journey seeking after you, but God, we want our life to exemplify you in all that we do and all that we say, but our hearts, most of importantly, chasing after you. And so, Father, I just ask in the next few minutes that you would move and speak to us in a powerful way this morning. We need you, Holy Spirit, and we invite you in this place. In Jesus' name, if you're thankful for it, let's give Jesus a hand and you can have a seat. Amen. So I want to show you something out of that prayer, out of that scripture. There was a moment where Jesus was teaching because the disciples said, well, how should we pray? And this isn't just a formula that you and I are supposed to recite every day, but Jesus was wanting to give you and I an example of just really what prayer looks like. But I think it's powerful to notice the word hallowed. Everybody say hallowed. All right, sounds like a cool word, but how many know it wouldn't mean a whole lot if you don't understand its meaning? But it puts a little bit more weight when you understand. And so hallowed literally means this: to set apart as holy, to respect something, to honor it greatly. Jesus understood something, how incredible and how powerful his Father was. And notice how he began in prayer, we're going to honor God. We're going to give God the weight that's due to him by honoring who he is. Hallowed be your name. You know, honor, I believe, is something that causes our lives to stand out from the crowd. How many know that we live in a culture, in a world that there's a lot of dishonor today, unlike anything we've ever seen? We have all kinds of examples out there today. And I remember a great movie, and how many have ever seen Braveheart? How many have ever seen that movie? How many know, what a solid movie. I mean, just great, great movie. Mel Gibson, come on. And but there's a moment in that where, you know, William Wallace was devoted. If you've seen this movie, if you haven't, I'll just kind of give you a short picture of it, was devoted for the cause of freedom. And there was a moment where he had all of his men together. This is one of the biggest moments of the movie that everybody typically remembers from this. And asking the men if they would join him in this cause. And there's a famous line from this movie that he says this, that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. How many remember that for watching the movie? Yeah. Such a great moment in that movie. And I just believe this, that we all should have convictions in our life that cause us to stand up. I believe if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. And so you've got to know what you believe, the vision, the values, the convictions in your life, and stand up for what is right. You know, William Wallace stood up for freedom, so I was thinking, how much more should you and I be standing up for the God that we believe in? Something Pastor Rob said last week that I thought was so good, and he made this statement, and it's something I believe very strongly and passionately in my heart. As unfortunately, sometimes the church or Christians can be a lot more known for the religiosity or things that they're against rather than things that they are for. And I think that we've got to continue to trumpet to the world who we're for and what we're for. Come on, amen? And so I think that's so important that we have that value. I want to show you a picture of incredible honor today of a young man in the scripture. Let's read here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this young man is named David, going up against the giant Goliath. Here, Goliath is around 8 feet tall, and we got, you know, David around 5'2", some believe, all right? And the Philistine said this. He said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. At this point, nobody's been able to stop this giant. He's defying God. He's taunting them, the people. And they're in a point where David is seeing something that's taking place, and it causes him to be alarmed, but it causes him to action. He's seeing everybody else retreat from the front lines of where Goliath was at. Seeing them retreat, he's seeing seasoned warriors, those who have been fighting for such a long time, are withdrawing from battle. Then in verse 26, it says, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? So in other words, David had a sense of honor that everyone else was lacking around him. When others were running, he stood. Honor caused David to stand his ground and to stand up for what he believed. He goes to the king, he goes to Saul, and he tells Saul, he said, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to take this giant on. But before this moment even takes place, David's got some adversity, some people in his life that are telling him, man, there's no way this is going to happen. I mean, think about 8 feet, this 8-foot dude, all the seasoned veterans are running from this guy, and we got 5'2", 5'3", David, shepherd boy, who's got 6 older brothers, and he's the youngest of them, who's more known for him tending the sheep than going on the battlefield. And his brother responds in verse 28, just going to highlight, paraphrase a couple verses here to help bring some more clarity. His brother literally tells him, he says, you have no business going into this fight. Like, go back to tending the sheep. You have no place here. King Saul looks at him and says, your youth, Goliath has been fighting since his youth. And then watch what happens here in verse 36 and 37. He responds to the king. He says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. Oh, yeah, he got his wrestling match on, that's for sure. And the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I think what happened in this moment next was incredible for David. While everyone, again, else was retreating, while everyone else was leaving, he was in a place that he was running towards the giant. While everybody else was running away from it, he said, no, you've talked about my God enough. You've tried to make fun of him enough. Man, I'm going to stand for what's right, coming against our people, thinking you're going to take us as yours. It's just not going to happen, not on this day. And so while everyone retreated, there David was running towards Goliath. And David had a strength about him to run forward. Think about it, when everyone else was retreating. When David heard Goliath dishonor his God, a holy passion rose up in David that said, man, something's got to happen. And he realized that something was God going to use him to do something about it. When David's brother looked at him and said, hey, you need to go back to tending the sheep. I love this moment in verse 28. You have to go read the entirety of this story if you've never read it. It's so powerful. But he responds with a William Wallace type of response. And he said this to his brother. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for me on this day to stand up and to honor our God and to see the enemy defeated? Is there not a cause? I don't have time to retreat. I don't care how big I am. I don't care what my history has told me. All I care about is what I know God has put in me. Is there not a cause? And so David's response was incredible. I believe this, jot this down today, that a life of honor attracts. It attracts the favor of God. It attracts the favor of God. It brings momentum into our lives. Honor is what moved David to action. It was the defining force in his life. And if you read on in the story, David slays the giant, grabs 5 stones, and slays him with his slingshot, took 1 stone. But David didn't just stop there. Like, that's what I'm saying. The Bible is just so full and packed with drama. People that say, man, the Bible's boring. Man, you just got to get in it and find you a version that you can understand, too. There's all kinds of different versions. But then David goes gangster. Like, it just wasn't enough that he took him down. Then he chopped off his head. How many know that's like rated R in the Bible? Like, let's go. Look at the person and say, man, that was gangster. He was right. That's gangster. Taking off the head. That's crazy. Like, what's up? You know? And so he took it the next step. And here's what happened from David in that moment is that he ended up becoming the greatest king his people ever knew. Look at the person next to you and say, that's momentum. Because he made a decision that I'm going to honor God with my life. In other words, my life is not my own. And so however God wants to use me, I want to be used. And however he wants to use my life, to whether it's to take on the forces of darkness and to stand for what is right, then I'm going to allow my life to be a living testimony for God to use me and however he sees fit. Calvin Coolidge said this. He said, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. Honor. Everybody say honor. I think about what God's been doing in our church over the course of the last few months, and our church has always been a church of outreach. When we launched this church, we launched it with outreach. We started serving in the inner city of our city, and we've been doing it now for 7 years. And through inner city, our homeless, our schools that we're serving, our public schools, we're finding just ways to continue to reach out. We made a commitment, though, as a church years ago, that we're going to honor God by honoring people. And we're going to help take care of the people in our city. We're going to find a need and fill it. We're going to find a hurt and help heal it. That's the passion, the heart that God has given us. And I believe this, as a result, what we are beginning to see now back, and we're seeing it this year unlike any year we've ever seen, is respect and favor is coming now. All of a sudden, momentum is beginning to flow back. And I'm telling you, our greatest days are right in front of us. Right in front of us. Well, it's because there's a people at Elevate City that says, man, this isn't going to be about me. That serve day that comes in June, guess what? We're going to do some things beyond ourselves. In the month of August, we're doing a massive back-to-school bash in the inner city. Why? Because we just made a decision. We're going to honor God by honoring people. We're going to help to fill these needs and to reach out and do something that's beyond us. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so I think it's, and here's what scripture says, that when you honor God, God will honor you. It says it right here in 1 Samuel 2:30, I will honor those who honor me. And I think there's some significant ways that we can bring honor to God. First one is this, is we should honor God with our finances. I think this is huge. Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Proverbs 11 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. Here's what I know about God, that God has a system and a flow of blessing, that either we can do things God's way or we can do things the hard way. And I'm just telling you, I'm learning in this journey, much like you, we're all in this thing together, that doing things my way brings a lot more sticky, messy situations. How many know what I'm talking about? But when you do things God's way and you follow in his order and what he does, I'm telling you, you'll see the blessings of God flow in your life unlike anything you've ever seen. And it's, you know, it's when it comes down to finances, listen, it's all about your heart. It's never been about the amount as it is your heart. You know, the word tithe means 10%, but it also means test. I believe on this side of eternity, the greatest test that you and I will have is what we do with our money. Absolutely. It's interesting to me that we can trust God with our eternity, but we struggle trusting him as our financial advisor. I began tithing as a 13-year-old boy. Never forget working at Rozzy's Catering in Kokomo, Indiana. Come on, 13. I think it was child labor then, but I was working, and I started early as a boy. And I just made a decision. My mom helped teach this and instill this into me to just honor God with what's his. And so for the last 21 years of my life, I've tithed and I've gave faithfully to God. Not a regret in my day of doing that. When I was single and on my own, honoring God, giving what's his. When I got engaged to Bethany, I said, hey, when we get married, we're going to continue to honor God. We're going to continue to let him know he's in first place in our life, not just in some areas, but in every area. We want to leave a legacy of blessing for our kids and our children's children. Come on, somebody. We just made a decision. We're going to do things God's way. And I just know that's why we've just never met an ex-tither in our life, because I'm telling you, the principle of doing things God's way always prevails, always works. In other words, an open-handed mindset will build much more momentum in your life than a stingy spirit will. Jesus said it's better to give than it is to receive. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Are you with me today? Here's the second thing I know, is that we should honor God. I'm telling you, these are principles. These are things that are going to help bring momentum. We should honor God by honoring his house. I love this one. Spent some time on this one a lot this past week. Psalms 26:8, I love it. It says, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. I love how God talks and refers to his church as his house. Because when I look at it, I see it exactly how he is seeing it. That, guess what? His house, that this is a family. That we're a family in this, all right? Brothers and sisters, come on. Grandfathers in the spirit. Mothers in the spirit. Come on, we're in this thing together. Look at the person next to you and say, yeah, we're family. We're family. We're family. We're family. We're family. And that's how God looks at us, that we honor God. Listen, listen, I want to help some of us with this today. We honor God by honoring his house. And can I just say this, that no church, no pastor, no leader is perfect. You will not find a perfect church in the world that we live in today. So long as there is people, so long as there will be issues. All right? And so, because the church is full of imperfect people. But there is something about an army of people who rises up together in faith in God. In the midst of our issues, as we're working things out and as we're growing in this thing called faith, that God is doing something. He's building character. He's helping develop our maturity. And as we grow, I just know that we can do a lot more together than we ever could on our own. There's something powerful about the church and doing things God's way. And so here's what I want to just say for those that may even find yourself in a place struggling with people in church, struggling with Christians, maybe even just struggling with church itself, we must remember why we are actively called to participate in his church. And that is to bring him honor, to bring him glory, and to see him high and lifted up. Amen, everybody? And so we have to maintain honor for his local church. I believe the local church mobilized is the hope of the world. And we have a massive responsibility. Despite the fact that there will be imperfections in the church, listen, here's what I've learned. If we take God's house for granted or view it as ordinary, or we carry an attitude that prevents us from receiving all that God wants for us, wants to bring into our lives through his church, we've got to be careful to guard our heart with that. And so in other words, the very thing that we may need, and that may be encouragement, that may be peace today, that may be comfort today, I don't know where you're at, that may be direction for your life, may be waiting for us in the house of the Lord. And receiving that. And so keeping a healthy heart and a healthy attitude and understanding, man, we're all growing in this thing together. We're trying to work this out. You know, Paul talked about working out our salvation. In other words, he's talking about that we're growing and that we're evolving into what God has and wants for our lives. And so let me say it this way, that when we have an attitude of respect for God's house, incredible things flow in our lives. The open door that God has to flow is incredible. So how do we receive them? Let me share this verse with you that I think is so good in Psalms 92. It says, those who are planted in the house. Everybody shout, planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Look at this. They shall bear fruit in old age. How many want to bear fruit in old age? Amen. And look at this. Not only that, but they will be fresh and they will be flourishing. But that can only happen by doing it his way, being planted in his house. Those who are planted in the house are going to grow. That's the picture of this verse. In other words, that word planted literally means to put down roots and get connected. For some of us, our next step is growth track happening today during our noon service. Getting on the dream team. You know, there's no other day in the week that we get to make an eternal difference like we get to make on a Sunday. No other day in the week. That's why we live for Sundays and making a difference. That's why, man, we love to worship God as our team is up here every week helping to teach our people and to help lead them closer to God. That's what it's about, to help our kids right now who are in our kids' ministry, to see them develop a vibrant relationship with God. Imagine, come on, our kids being who God has destined for them to be regardless of their age. I'm so glad that God doesn't look at us according to our age or according to our experience, but he takes us just as we are. Amen. You're thankful for that? Because I know that I am. And so we're called to honor God's house and doing more than just attending services or giving our finances. We need to make it a priority in our house. One of my favorite businessmen, Christian businessmen that I've read about, who's just made a massive difference. And I read different kinds of business books, some Christian, some secular. I just think there's principles that you can just grab onto. But one of my favorite businessmen that I've always just endeared in my heart was previous owner of Chick-fil-A, who founded Chick-fil-A. That was Truett Cathy. How many thank God for Chick-fil-A? Come on, somebody. And they're closed on Sunday, all right, which is my point, all right? But he was told, Truett Cathy was told when he began Chick-fil-A, he made it a priority, think about this, that we're going to work 6 days a week, but we're going to shut it down one day a week. I'm going to shut it one down a week. His greatest competitors during those days, McDonald's, Boston Market, Burger King, all told him, said, Truett, you're crazy. You'll never survive. You're going to have to be open 7 days a week. And he just had it within his heart. Nope, we're going to have a value system at Chick-fil-A that's going to be different from the way the rest of the world looks at things. Listen to this statement he said when he was talking about this. He said, I was not so committed to financial success that I was willing to abandon my principles and priorities. One of my examples of this is our decision to close on Sunday. Our decision to close on Sunday was our way of honoring God and directing our attention to things that matter more than our business. My God, Truett Cathy is just straight preaching right there, just so no. Amen, Brother Cathy. All right, he's with the Lord today. He's part of the great cloud of witnesses. I'm telling you that right now. Truett Cathy, let me tell you what he did. He made it a priority in his life, but not just his life. It flowed over into the place of business and what he was over, and said, we're going to honor God. We're going to shut it down once a week. Somebody shout, momentum. Because when he honored God, guess what? God got all over that with his favor, gave him influence, gave him blessing. I mean, you ought to go read up on this story, man, what God just began to do. Why? Because he made a difference, and he had a value system that was different than this world. I'm just telling you, when you learn to go all in with God, God will go all in with you. And I'm telling you, what you put your hands to when you do it his way, he will bring about a blessing in your life and bring things to your life that you never could imagine. But you've got to do things God's way and not your way. He went on to say this. He said, I wanted my managers, listen, he made this statement. He said, I wanted my managers and my employees to be able to go to church, to worship, and to rest. Today, listen to this, Chick-fil-A is a $4.1 billion business with over 1,600 locations and rising. Chick-fil-A, I bet many of you didn't know this. I didn't know this till this week when I read this. Chick-fil-A began in a house so small that it was actually called the Dwarf House. True story. But how many know the dwarf has become a giant? Because its leaders made the decision, we're going to honor God first. We're going to shut it down once a week. How many know if God rested on the seventh day, my God, we better rest too. I think some of us have a problem with rest and honoring the Sabbath. And I'll never forget a few years ago when my schedule was so crazy. One of my overseers looked at me, Pastor Aaron Jane, and he said, you're in sin because you're not honoring the Sabbath. You need to get your heart right. How many know you need people in your life like that, that'll talk honest to you, talk straight to you, but they love you enough that they don't want to see you stay where you're at, and that's God's heart, but they want you to get some momentum and grow and be the man or woman that God has for you. You don't need people that are impressive with you. You need people that are honest with you, and I'm thankful for that in my life, and I'm telling you, principles and these things that will produce momentum. Here's the third thing is we should honor God by honoring people. Jesus said this in John 13. He said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. He was being tested in this moment by a quote-unquote expert of the law that said, hey, what's the most important commandment, Jesus? And instead of Jesus trying to give us a bunch of do's and don'ts, notice that Jesus in one verse brought everything back to our heart, brought everything back to a place of honor. It's easy to honor those that we think are important. Listen to me. And I think, how many know if the mayor would call you today, how many know you're going to show up early? You're going to be on time. If you invited, how many know if your boss called a meeting, you better be on time. You better be there early, actually, right? They say being on time is late. But we can be tempted, I think, oftentimes to disrespect those that we think are less important. And we need to be very careful of this in our heart. I believe this, that we need to remember that we honor people not because of their rank or status, but because they are made in the image of God. And that's why one of the things I love about this church and the way that we reach people and, you know, seeing how God has blessed us with, our bus ministry and watching things develop and grow with our dream center and the dreams that we have. Why? Because we realize this is not about us. This is about a cause that is worth fighting for, that we see men and women in the streets of our city that need a Savior. Come on, somebody. That we want to see darkness continue to be pushed back in the city of Fort Wayne so that light can prevail. Do you believe it today? Amen? 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? Man, this is good. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. I think for some people, too, when it comes to honor, they have a real problem with authority in their life. I've seen this with people. Throughout my 20 years of ministry, man, I've just watched people in a place where they carry dishonor. I'm just telling you, man, you don't want to live your life that way. You don't want to live your life that way. If you have issues with authority, I'm just telling you, you'll also have a hard time keeping a job. You have a hard time maintaining healthy relationships or making progress in your life just in general. And I believe the key to honor is humility. I love something C.S. Lewis said. He said that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. People should matter because they matter more than anything to God. So they matter to us. John 3:16. Come on, a verse that we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Something cool about this verse, that word world in the Greek is the word ethnos, which literally means people groups. So you could actually read it this way. For God so loved people. I think it's so cool to read it that way. And so when we love and we value what God loves and values, we will begin to see momentum move forward. And here's the final thing that I think is so important today, and then we're going to pray, is that honor must flow from the heart. Honor is not just something you do. Honor is who you are. Choose to be a man or woman of honor. You know, I'm still of the belief, man, when the elderly come in or they come to greet me, I stand up and I shake their hand. I just believe in rising when the aged come in. Come on, I still believe in honoring, come on, the women by opening up doors. And all the ladies shouted a good amen today. Yeah, it bothers me when some of the ladies get there first. I said, no, that's my job. Bethany will tell you. That's the way I roll. But I just believe honor. I believe honor is huge. And I think we've got to continue to honor. And I think if we're going to honor God, I mean truly honor him in a way that produces momentum in our life, then honor must flow from the heart. Isaiah 29 says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. God is saying, I don't want just your words. I don't want just your actions. I want your heart. Because if I have your heart, I've got your life. And that's what God is after today. Matthew 22 says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Man, I just believe when passion and honor coexist, sooner or later, we're going to see forward momentum take place. I love this part of this verse because in the Message Bible, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your passion. The Message says it as well, everything within you. And I just believe we've got to choose to live our life. Choose to live a life of honor. Because as you do, man, God's going to open doors in your life that no man can shut. And that favor and that influence will rest on you. And listen, it may not happen overnight, but as you continue to do things God's way, as you honor him, he said, I'm going to honor you. Regardless of what the rest of the world does, choose to live a life of honor. And a life of honor is going to bring about a life that is going to gain further and further momentum in Jesus' name. Come on, can you say a good amen today? Come on, would you bow your head? I want to pray for you. Father, we love you this morning. God, we want to be a people of honor. And Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Father, that you help us, God, within the area of our hearts. God, anything that may be holding us back from being a person of honor, that God, that you would just help us today, that we would recognize that, but God, that we would surrender that to you today. God, we want all that you have for us in our life. We want all that you have for us, God. And so, Lord, right now, just in this room together, we just open up our heart and we just say, God, come fill our heart. Come fill our life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help us to see as you see. Help us, God, to love as you love in the mighty name of Jesus. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, God, we want to honor you. We want your name to become more famous in our city, our nation, and the world. And so, God, we thank you for your presence today. And we choose to live this life of honor. And because of it, I just speak, God, that we would be a people and a church that sees greater momentum in our life. I thank you that we are gaining momentum. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to give you an opportunity today, right here in this moment. If he's not first in your life, I'm telling you, he's nowhere on the list. For some of us, we need to put Jesus back into our life in first place. And if that's you, whether you've known God or maybe walked away or maybe you don't know him, but you recognize, man, I need to put him first in my life. All over this room in just a moment, I just want you to raise your hand in just a moment. I'm going to count to three and just raise it real high. And then as a church, all of us are going to pray together. Come on the count of three, if that's you, raise your hand real high. One, two, three. Come on, real high and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Awesome, awesome, yeah. Praise God. Let's pray this prayer together. If you raised your hand, just join with me. Come on, church, let's just pray with those. And say, Lord, I've messed up. And I need you. I welcome you into my heart today. Forgive me of my sins. Save me from myself. I choose to live a life pursuing you. And I make you my Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen.